Blog Talk Radio.
I've been cutting myself open, trying to figure out if it's me who needs to change everything about us. I can't keep going through the same thing. Every time I turn around, I'm the one that ends up hurting us. Trying to love men who won't love me. I can't keep going through the same thing. Never been healed from the first man who said he loved me. My daddy issues took over. I can't keep going through the same things. And the one man I wanted to love me, he said I want.
Welcome to The Empire with your host, The Empress. The Empire is where you can share your truth regardless of who disagrees. What you say is your opinion, and The Empire listens. You share your opinion, and we share ours. And together, we learn to live and learn without disregard of difference. Join The Empire at 516-666-9959 on scheduled weeknights, and let's get Empire together. It's The Empress Speaks, and The Empire Listens.
She is ready. Hello, hello, hello. It is September 19, 2021. I'm your host, the Empress, better known as a.k.a. Sharon Cooper, Sharon Davison. How are you all this evening? It has been a long, exhausting, wet, emotional, turbulent weekend. The rain has not stopped. I think it stopped for a little bit earlier today, and now we're back to the rain. Like, the rain just does something in myself. I can't take it. It does switch. I'm not ready. And it usually is very cathartic for me. to be still inside of the rain. Now, when it does rain, I try to be asleep, because if I'm not, then all of my soul, all of my emotions, all of my feelings, everything in me is just almost pushed up to the surface, and I'm super, super, super sensitive. Now, my being sensitive has some parts to tonight's show, but I think it is or was inevitable that I do a show on being broken, being unhealed, having a heart that is not fixed, because, again, this whole broadcast, my whole blog talk radio experience from, when was it, 2011, was begat out of being transparent and in need of information, in need of an outlet to be able to get through situations, through my feelings, yada, yada, yada. Okay, with all that being said, it's just been a mission of mine to experience the greatest opportunities of love. Like, I think that is the reason why we are here. I am so assured that that is why every one of us is here. And sometimes when I'm moving through the world, I look for things that are of validation. I look for things that are of constant, that are repeated, and things that don't really like disappear or go away. They're always there, and I can't really at times tell whether or not the universe is truly speaking to me or not. And most times, I think that it is. I think that it really is. So, again, tonight's show came out of that. And, you know, I'm a new user to the TikTok. I do have an account on TikTok. It's not as easy of a platform as it seems, because a lot of whatever exposure you get or interaction you get depends on, I think, how absurd you can be at times and how much you're willing to put yourself out there. But I am out there. I have been out in the world of TikTok, and I had run onto a couple of the TikTok celebrities. And when I got on, it was one that just stuck with me. Like, I was stupid. I wasn't really sure whether or not I was agreeing to some of these threads, because it was very, very uncomfortable. It was super not sitting well with my spirit. And it wasn't that it wasn't the truth. It was just that it was hitting in different places. I'm trying to pull it up without just blasting the show with my telephone TikTok, but let me see if I can't get a couple of them up. One of them was Kendrick Lamar. And I'm telling you, something's happened so perfectly in my seeking of soul soothing. I think that it's on purpose. I think that it's purposely the universe, God, the spirit realm, communicating with me about what I need. And in one of those communications, I was watching TikTok, and I think the algorithms may have something to do with it. I'm always blogging about love. I'm always blogging about relationships, because those are my things. I love love. I am an advocate of it. I want it. I want it in my life. I'm not even saying I'm ashamed of it. Now, I will say there was a point in my world and in my life where I was afraid to really say that out loud, because I think people were judgmental about women in particular who would vocally say what they needed, or vocally say where they were in hurt, or they were in distress about certain things. And love is one of those things. Like, it's not really enveloped or received well for women who are willing to say, I want to be in a relationship. And I think the world is very judgmental about where you've been and what you've gone through when they know, you know, because a lot of times they don't know what you've gone through and why you are in the space you are in. To be even more purely transparent, I have been in this particular platform almost as open as I can be, open as I'm willing to be, because I do think there's some parts of yourself that needs to stay, you know, private. But I think in order to heal, when certain things are big enough in your life, that they change who you are and they are instrumental in who you are from that point forward, whether it's traumatic, whether it's great, whether it's negative, whether it's positive, there are milestones in your life that occur that shape and form who you are. And it is an imprinting on yourself that never, ever, ever goes away. And so I was, like I said, I was on TikTok, and I heard this, and I'm going to try to play it just so that you can hear what I heard. And it was just so plain, but it filled me up so fully. I became stupidly emotional. Like, I was so messed up because the world is just crazy right now. Like, there's nothing happening right in the world, in my opinion. I mean, I was on the edge waiting on them to just hopefully find this girl injured out in the mouth. Yeah, I knew. I said, they're going to find this girl dead. I know they're going to find her dead. Why? It's because someone was in search of something. Things did not pan out how they wanted them to be, and things take a worse turn. I got calls all weekend concerning my patients and how they're not doing the best. You know, in some instances you expect that, in other instances you don't. And it's like, what is happening in the world? Like, is anybody actually happy? Is anybody actually healthy? Is life even the way it's supposed to be? Like, what is the ultimate of why we're here? This is what Kendrick Lamar had to say. Let me start it over. Okay, let me get it to start over, because I want you to hear everything that he had to say. It was almost too simple to be the truth, but I think, again, we complicate things that don't necessarily have to be. And if it's not, if it doesn't play really soundly this time, I'll play it again.
When are we going to understand that we are put on earth to love? That's all it's about. Everybody want to figure out how complicated life is and break it down. This is what I truly think. War gonna keep going on. Frustration gonna keep going on. Anger gonna keep going on until we finally go back down to the simple. Put on earth to love. That's all it's about. Everybody want to figure out how complicated life is and break it down. This is what I truly think. War gonna keep going on. Frustration gonna keep going on. Anger gonna keep going on until we finally go back down to the simplest word, love.
He said the simplest thing was that love is the explanation of why we are here in this human experience. And I was like, oh my God. I know I've been searching it. When you are religious and biblical and you want to go back to the scriptures, it says God is love, and if we're in searching of God, we're in search of love, and we're in his likeness. That's exactly what it means. When you look at all of, even some of the most beautiful things that happen in the world, love is the extent of it. And then when you look at some of the most tragic things in the world, the relation to those happening sometimes come with love. I've even watched a couple of movies. I had to stop myself from watching it because I was becoming overwhelmed with the idea that people are ultimately all in search of the very same things, but we must understand how to get to love and how to get to where we are by where we are and who we are in our state right now. Now, life is either going to eat you up or it's going to force you to be recognized within yourself and what you're aligned to. And it doesn't matter how you try, because I'm going to tell you, I've tried it. I've tried to move forward in a broken state. I've tried to move past things rather than through things. I've tried to ignore things that were expressly hurtful to myself. And I know they were changing, life-changing situations. And until you do the work of healing is totally necessary before you can move on, because I do believe that life is almost cyclical. It is in a cycle to where if you don't get it right, you're going to repeat it again. You're going to go into a space again where you're going to be hurt and harmed again, and things are not going to get any better until you heal yourself. Now, with that being said, I'm going to talk about myself. And, of course, if you're on the lines, I see a couple of phone calls already on hold and listening in. If you'd like to chime in, just let me know. This chat website does have the ability for you to chat in if you'd like to the website. But if you'd like to text me on the phone, however you want to get in contact with me, you're willing to, you know, you're okay to do that. I want to first disclose that none of my explanation of myself is in an attempt to defame or to make others look lesser than myself. It is the explanation of who I am and why I am who I am today. I am in full understanding that I today am the example of what has happened to me over the course of the 47 years that I've been here. A lot of your life, I know you've heard it, people constantly talking about childhood traumas, childhood happenings, things that happen in your life, unforeseen tragedies, things that happen that shape the person that you are. Some things in life are just that. They're just life. How we deal with those things and where we put them in priority of focus in our life become the mold of what we become. I mean, we've talked on different shows and different topics, and people always relate the reasonings for who they are today, for how they were raised, what they have seen, what was accepted, what got the okay, and that's great to have that understanding. But when you understand that what you have experienced, what you've gone through was harmful, and it was unhealthy, and that it has broken you, not until you accept those parts can you move forward, okay? Let me say that again because it came out kind of wrong. It's great to understand that you are a product of your environment and a product of your experience, but just knowing that does nothing. It makes you knowledgeable, but in order to live and thrive, you have to use that knowledge and let it be useful in changing what you do with that knowledge. Now, I'm talking about myself tonight. I'm not talking about nobody else. I can't talk about nobody else because I don't know nothing about nobody else. I can tell you about me. I can tell you that I grew up in a very strict religious family, and it was the most beautiful growing up that I had because it came from a total place of love. I had two parents who had two different religious backgrounds. I had a Christian mother and a Catholic father who had two totally different ideals about how life should be. And myself and my sisters, we lived in that and we thrived in that. I felt totally supported by my parents. I came into myself, I think, really, really late in life because of the sheltering that came along with being a child of a strict home. As a teenager, I still really socialized in a very closed and a very guarded group of people. 90% of my interactions and socializations were with people that I was either related to or I had close family ties to. So it was very guarded. It was very predictable. It was very much controlled, if you will. It was not until I married and moved away from my family that I really understood that there's a difference between family and friends, and that people are not who they chum up to you as. Even people that you are married to are not who they seem to be. Everybody has their audience of people that they serve, and sometimes family, their lies and their hurts and their harms, you don't find out those things until well late in life. And I knew probably I've known some things for very sure. I knew I should have never gotten married. And I also knew that I would not live in a home where I felt unloved, unappreciated, and not important. So that became a very early focus with regard to myself. And in some ways, my focus on that so strongly became almost a calling card. If anybody wanted to mistreat me, mishandle me, talk down to me, judge me, it became almost an expectation of experience, whether it was a friend, whether it was family, whether it was coworkers, whether it was society, whether it was groups. I had gotten so used to guarding myself and expecting that it became an energy in and of itself. I started almost summoning that sort of thing to myself. And I look around and I was like, why am I always in this cycle of happening? Why is this always happening to me? Now, everybody can be crazy, but everybody ain't crazy. And I know that I'm not the most perfect gift to the world, but I am as perfect as God made me. And the things that broke me early in my life were things that were related to, and let me slow down because I can feel the emotions bubbling up, things that were related to being accepted, things that were related to being included, acknowledged. Very early, it was a requirement for me to have those things, but instead of my focusing on being whole and within myself, I sought out those things in other people instead of filling them in myself. In doing that, I allowed people to mistreat me. I lived in a domestically violent relationship for all of my marriage, the extent of my marriage, and came out of that really not healing from it, but just surviving it. After becoming a single parent and in my own, the focus to heal myself became probably tertiary or even further down the line to taking care of my kids, to just being able to make things be. I did not want for one moment that any decision that I made be of detriment to two little people who didn't ask to be here. I felt extremely responsible for their well-being, not understanding that I was going to be offering this brokenness in myself to them if I did not heal myself. It has been probably about 7 years that I've been on this journey of healing myself, and it is surprising to me that even in today, I come into places or situations or interactions, and the brokenness shows up. And the way that I looked at, you know, crafting this show was this. You know, I'm a nurse. Like, it's a lot of things that we see in medicine, and it makes absolutely no sense to the regular person, but it makes absolutely all the sense in the world as a medical person of how to be curative to the functioning of a body. I've seen people with dead limbs so bent on not cutting off a dead body part. They don't want to lose their leg, even though they can't walk on it. It doesn't have any blood flow. It doesn't work anymore. And in fact, it's dying and stinking. And rather than saving the rest of your body, they decide, I still have two legs. And I put that in context to the way that I had tried to function unhealed and moving over this brokenness rather than healing from it. I know the places that are of deficit to me, but just knowing it doesn't cure it. And the fear of being, I'm going to just tell you, the plain fear that I have is being an old woman who used to be married, that had two children, and was a nurse, being the crux of what I leave for my children. I don't want that. I don't want to even live solely to leave any type of legacy outside of what our purpose is on this earth, which to me, honestly and truthfully, is just love. Unadulterated, pure, limitless love. And I do know that there are some places where I absolutely see it. When I see my son and my daughter do things and I can see the heart that's in it and the spirit that's in it, it does something for myself. It is absolutely amazing. Like I was reading, and I'm so glad sometimes from Facebook because it'll remind you of some of the worst things, but sometimes it'll remind you of some of the good things, how beautifully coordinated they were in trying to help each other about this time last year when it came to school. My son was going through some things. My daughter was having some growth spurts, and they're so different, and how he was trying to be there for her. Like, I know that that is just basic humanity, but I felt some sort of God in me that I was able to translate that amount of caring for your sibling. You know, that's that love and interaction and wanting the other person to be better that I needed to show up in them. It's some of the things that I can recall from my childhood. I can remember, you know, my sister, my older sister getting married and it not being the best choice in my mother's eyes, but us rallying around her and being there for her. Or when, you know, even it doesn't have to necessarily be something negative, just the humanity in recognizing another person as human and loving them deeply. But when you're broken, it's hard to see those connects. It's hard to see those which are natural connections from point A to point B on like a love standard. I've learned some things that I want to share. And again, I don't want to get too far into specific details because it starts to sound like I'm complaining when in actuality I'm being very grateful for the spaces that I have survived. But I have come to the conclusion that even at this ripe old age of 48, I am still broken and still unhealed and scarred in some ways. And in order for me to totally be healed on those ways, I have to acknowledge it and I have to know that that is what it is. My first knowing is, as I've already said, is that you must heal before you can move on. You can pretend all you want to. You can facade all you want to. You can glam up. The worst thing is to have an image of something and behind the image is so different. I mean, everybody has a persona. Everybody wants to put the best foot forward, but it doesn't mean that you have to be phony about it. And that's the one thing that I gainfully own from my mom. It is what it is. It was whatever it was with her. If she was happy, she was absolutely, totally, and fully happy. But if she was mad, she was absolutely, totally in that. There was never a whole lot of gray spaces because her emotions and feelings aligned with where she actually was. The thing that I'm having to learn is that I can't sit just in that space. I have to have such a strong desire to be in a place of peace and in a place of happiness that I have to turn off those places that I know are bringing to me unhappiness, that are bringing to me unfulfillment, and get in line with the space that gives me what I want. If I say I want happiness and I say I want love and I want something that is reciprocal, when I see the opposite of that, I've got to learn how to just strictly turn it off. That's why I don't like being so emotional. I am that person, but I'm having to learn new strategies on how to move into these new places. When you don't heal, you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable. And when you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable, you cannot find love. Not the love that I'm talking about. I think you can find love and affection, but I think the guarded love and affection that I have participated in is not healthy for me, because I am always in a longing and a wanting on the after part. Like, I have been too eager to be vulnerable to the wrong people. Like, trusting that just because I'm being my purest and honest self to them, that I'm automatically going to receive that. That is not how that works, Toto. I had to learn that myself. I had to learn that that is not how it works. It only works by purposeful work and effort and being able to say those things out of your mouth. I want this to be this way. And being vulnerable only just makes you be able to be open and to receive what you're expecting. I'm not so sensitive that I'm fragile anymore. I posted a TikTok the other day on myself. Like, I have experienced so many different parts of hurt and disgust that there's very few that I think that I won't be able to survive, because I've survived so much. In that way, I'm not applauding myself. I'm just saying that I'm able to take whatever it is that people give me, but I'm not going to take some things from this date forward. You unheal, when you are unhealed, and this is me talking to myself, when you are unhealed, you will be willing to be treated poorly. Whenever you don't catch or put people back online with treating you correctly, you are unhealed. There's no way around it. If you allow anyone to treat you poorly, to talk to you poorly, to interact with you disrespectfully, to, you know, even text or tag you to stuff that's inappropriate and non-beneficial to you, you're not healed. Because when you heal, you become intolerant of certain things. There is no reason why, when a person is totally healed, say from a broken leg, and they're up walking and talking and going, for you to continue to give them a handicap sticker or to give them a wheelchair or to put them in a handicapped space when they're healed from that thing. Now, in the therapy process, you may have some aches and pains and some reminders of your ailment. But when you're healed from a thing, certain things can't happen. People can't talk to you any kind of way when you're healed. People can't proposition you with things when you're totally healed. See, that's what I found out about myself. I was not healed. And in a lot of ways, I'm still not healed. I am in a healing process. I think that I am in a therapeutic space where I'm gaining strength and I'm healing, but I am totally not healed. My reactions to some things just this weekend proved to me I got a lot of work to do. Now, a lot of, and again, this show is about me. This ain't about nobody else. But if you, you know, if you have something to say or you want to chime in, just let me know. But concerning healing for me and brokenheartedness comes from two places. It comes from your head and heart, which I think is one place, and then your spirit and soul, which is a totally different place. And a lot of our brokenness is all the way down to the soul. It has very little to do with the people on this earth who we interact with, who we experience these traumas and things from. It has nothing to do with them. It just plays out on the stage with them. See, let me tell you about Sharon. Sharon has always had a problem in her heart, in her soul, in her spirit, and in her mind with herself, just presentation-wise. Like, I feel like people are judging me from grip. Okay, I've always felt that way. And I have attributed that all the way to the spaces where my being a twin, it has nothing to do with my sister, but it has everything to do with a comparison that I got constantly as a twin to her. And in so many ways, subliminally, I absorbed this place that if people were saying that we were this opposite, and if people were saying that we are this opposite, maybe we are this opposite, is what I engulfed in myself. And for a long time, I was silently resentful for her being thinner than me, in my eyes, prettier than me, more attractive to people than me. And this is just one area of where I realized in myself and in my way. I can look at my whole family. In my way of growing up, I felt really ostracized in this cultish-like religion where we couldn't socialize with the rest of the world. And I know it was done in a loving case, but it made me feel that much more different. And I brought that into my adulthood, brought it all the way into my adulthood, brought it into my regular relationships, brought it into my intimate relationships, brought it into my friendships, brought it into my mothering. It's a part of who I am. And I have resolved in some of those ways, but some of the ways that I have not healed are on a personal, some things I have to take around this world with myself every day, 24/7, it is a task to even hear someone give me a general compliment. I cringe a little bit inside every time I hear someone compliment me. I have tried to teach myself to practice loving myself, like, you okay? You okay with your big eyes? You're okay with your big breasts, your big butt, that second belly, you are okay. I have tried to learn to love who I am aside from the noise of everybody else. And until you're honest about being in those places in yourself, there's no way someone else can love you past that. Now, I've learned to be tolerant, and I've learned to hear people's hearts rather than hearing the words that come out of their mouth. And that's another part of myself, being honest about what you feel, being honest about who you are. It's very hard to share that with someone. I got to a point where I didn't even want to date anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody because it felt like it was going to be this interview and I was going to have to tell them how screwed up I felt like I was. And then they end up not even wanting me. And I had at times internalized this till I was getting exactly that. I was coming on to a place where I had put so much energy and not accepting me that I was expecting not being accepted by others. Like, once you're able to be honest to yourself about yourself, you'll be able to accept whatever it is that they can give you. And then if it doesn't serve you, you're able to chop that off and put that away. Another thing that I learned is about this childhood trauma. You know, people always talking about it. And when they say childhood trauma, to me, it always is something in the extreme negative. It's some stuff that has to do with, it has a connotation of being something that should not have happened. And life just does happen. People divorce. People get separated. People have death. There's accidents. You know, there are things that are negative that happen in your life, but there are also things that are positive in your life as well. I know one of the greatest positives in my life is my great aunt pulling me to the side when I was really young and telling me how beautiful I was. And I couldn't hear her then. I hear her now at 47, and she's not even living anymore. But I couldn't even hear her then because I was willing to accept in a broken state what everybody else had said instead of looking and hearing people from a heart place. You know, I said it could be your head and your heart, or it can be your spirit and your soul. And at the time, I think that my spirit and my soul were so guarded, I didn't give it any attention. So it was very, very immature. All I heard is what I heard, and whatever was the truth was validated by how I felt. So my head and my heart was awake, but my spirit and my soul was not. And the opposite of that is true right now with me. As I've grown into the woman that I am in almost constant conflict with what my head and heart wants regarding what my soul and my spirit is telling me I need. Like, there are some things, like just some basic things, like my spirit used to be so confident that it spoke up and rose up in me to where I couldn't even hear the noise. And it has been so painful to rise up out of that and to confront some of the things that have broken me all of these years, that I emboldened my heart and my head. I let my spirit go without being served. I let my soul go without being fed. And when I say spirit and soul, people automatically think religious, but it is actually just practice of what is feeding you, what is sustaining you, what is making you feel whole in yourself. And in sometimes it is the Bible, and sometimes it is the rules and regulations, and sometimes it is those things. But it's like when the rules are broken, the regulations are broken, and your heart is bleeding. You're bleeding. Like I can definitely remember when I lost my mother. It was my heart and head, first of all, those two things definitely just plummeted. Like, my heart is just broken. It's still broken still today. But in order for my body to survive, my spirit and my soul, it woke up. Like, I don't know why extreme traumatic things can wake you up, but they do. It was as if, like even in the Bible, like scales fell from my eyes and I could see clearly. I could feel people. I knew exactly what it was without things being said. It was like my heart and my head turned off. My spirit rose up. It is like a hungry baby I birthed when I lost my mom, because there was no more leaning on her. There was no more suckling off her. There was no more crying to her. It was like, okay, I'm taking her back, and now you're going to have to be the person you're going to be or not. And, by the way, you have these two people that you have to take care of. And so when I came into that space, I gave it 100%. I was okay with my heart and my head being turned off, and I turned totally into the spirit. And I turned totally into my soul, and I fed them from that place. And now I think what's happened is they've gotten older. I can see the fruits of them being pretty healthy, soulful, and spiritual people. They love so deeply. I love the way that I see the love in them, that now it's time for me to replenish for myself. That is what happens when you're children hit, high school, they become into themselves. My son, all he told me was, Mama, I just need you to not forget that, you know, I have homecoming this weekend. And I lost it. I lost it. I became a bumbling ball of tears. I realized that the work of sowing into them was coming to a close. And that, again, I was going to have to deal with myself, my holes, my breaks, my brokenness. And I have had a headache ever since Friday evening. And so So childhood trauma suggests that the family has some sort of deficit, but it could be just that you were in an immature state during a heart or an unearthing in your life. And I had to ask myself a couple questions, and I want to ask those of you, and I'm going to end the show because I feel like this is what I needed to do, and this is what I needed to say, and this is my path on healing myself. Unless anybody has anything to say, there's a couple of callers and they're still in the blue. They haven't said that they want to say anything or wanted to share anything. But one of the questions I had to ask myself, do you have a wound that you know about? Because sometimes you don't really even know what it is. You just know that something is not right. You know, I need to be going to the doctor myself because I have these episodes where I just have like nausea, and then I have this dizziness, and I can look up everything in the medical books. I can still treat all I want to, but until I actually diagnose what it is, I can't really help myself. And you can make the symptoms of anything go away. It still doesn't heal the illness. And I desperately want to be healed in myself, because I do want to move over and forward into another level of love experience. Like, you're not going to be able to do that if you're bleeding. Like, I've been bleeding in a way spiritually and soulfully for so long. I'm anemic. I mean, I'm just gone by it. Like, I am tapped out. I can't even hurt any further because I don't have the energy for it. Now I'm trying to heal my soul and heal my spirit. I have accepted when people don't want you. Like, that has been the hardest thing, is to understand when people, honestly, they just don't want you, no matter how good you are to them, no matter what you do for them, or no matter how you stand by them. People don't owe you anything. I have learned to accept that it's okay for me to only love and only feed and only home and share and give to that which gives to me. It sounds selfish, and we had a show about that a couple months ago. It's nothing wrong with being selfish. As a matter of fact, if you're not selfish and don't take care of self first, you have nothing to give. A part of me being in the place that I'm in right now is because I have fed so much into everything and forgotten to feed myself. Just sick. Because I haven't fed myself, but all of these other life situations are up and running, but I'm tapped out. I can't ask in a relationship for someone to come in and heal me. I need to be healed from the beginning and then share the togetherness. That was the first. So you have to know that you have a wound. And the other thing is if you have a wound or if you're repeating something, what honestly are you doing to contribute to it? Because it's not always somebody else's fault. Sometimes it's just you. Sometimes it's you, you, and you. It's you. It has nothing to do with the circumstance. It has nothing to do with the explanation. It has nothing to do with an excuse. Sometimes we get so comfortable in being hurt and being harmed and being unloved and being mistreated and being taken for granted that we just settle for being broken and we stay there. It's a predictable hurt. It's a predictable place. Sometimes you perfected it so much that you know you can go in here, be hurt a little bit and get what you want out of it and then tag back out and survive it. We learn how to self-medicate ourselves. And we know we dying. Like it's like a drug addict. You go and pop in a drug and you get high, but then you know you can't get too high. So you come out and you self-medicate and you give yourself some fluid and you eat a little food and you get a little rest and you get a little better and you forget how close to death you were, and you repeat it again. It's like, what the heck? What is wrong with you? you're just used to what that hurt feels like. But I know now how I contribute to it. I have opened, and this is just me, again, this is just me, I have walked around this earth opening up my arms, almost sometimes inviting in something that is obviously screaming, I'm about to kill your self-esteem. Walking right into something that's saying, I'm finna kill all your joy. Everything but a poster sign is walking straight towards me saying, I'm unhealthy. And I still open my arms to it. I have got to be comfortable with nothing if it's not serving me. I've gotten to, like, COVID has helped me in a lot of ways to be settled and okay sitting my black ass right here at home doing nothing. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it as long as it's serving me. And it has served me. But I want a different thing now. I'm in a different space now. I'm healing from those things that have hurt me in the past, and I'm past those things. So now where I am is I'm wanting to move forward. I'm wanting to move in a space that is nothing but healing. And it's not just healing of my outer self. It's not just healing of my head and my heart. I want someone who can spiritually help me heal or walk with me in this healing. I want someone that I can be totally vulnerable to and they not utilize that as a crutch. I don't want to bleed on nobody, and I don't want nobody bleeding on me. And I mean that from the belly of myself, because life is just too short. I got a call from one of my nurses earlier. She's going to be funeralizing her sister in the next couple of days. She fell sick just this past Tuesday. Just Tuesday. Today is Sunday, and she's gone on Sunday. She went into the hospital on Tuesday, and now she's gone. And all of the things that she wanted to say, I hope she said them. All of the spaces that were left unanswered, I hope she at least took the time to do it. I don't want to be haunted by anything and anyone for the rest of my life. I tell my children all the time, like, they think something wrong with me, but I just feel, when I feel moved to hug up on them and tell them how much I love them and how much I appreciate how they're trying, I have to mean those things because life is not promised for any of us. I say it to my sisters, I say it to my cousins, I say it to my friends, and I do that because I'm trying to eat up the opportunity and availability of me being full and tanked all the way up on things that are really healing to me. When people don't serve me, I'm trying to cut that off the very moment. I'm not giving second chances to hurt me anymore. I'm not giving second chances to show me that you don't love me. I'm not giving second chances to show that what's important to me is not as important to you. Now, I don't expect anybody to have this type of zeal for my life as I do. I got to do it first. That's the whole message to this show. If you can't heal yourself, heal your own brokenness, work towards moving those things in that way, there's nothing you can add to it that's going to do that for you. If you have to balm your hurt and harm in your past with another person, that person will have to be there all the time in order for you to be healed, and that's not healthy. Like, I'm not looking for someone to save me at all. I'm looking into me to heal me, and then I want to be able to share the healed part of myself with someone. I'm willing to walk with someone in their self-healing. I want someone to walk with me in my self-healing. Like, there's a difference between somebody being a crutch and someone just being a support. They have these three different weight-bearing capabilities in rehab, where you're extensive assistance, a maximum assistance, or you're just a guard. And there's this part of a person when they're almost to the point of being totally healed that you're just kind of around. in case they stumble, in case they need to talk to somebody, in case they, you know, get bent up or forget, you know, that I have to do this in order to keep doing that. I want to be totally healed before I move any further. And I'm planning on doing that. And I don't think that it's wrong to put a time limit on it, because some things are just in the spoken. I also listened to this guy on TikTok, and I wish I could find it. We're getting ready to end the show. He was talking about, you know, ending, how important it is to have, what do you call it, verbal enunciation, or saying things out into the atmosphere, how you can actually give it life. You know, in the Bible, it said how God spoke some things to be. Just the fact of saying it out in the atmosphere gave or breathed life for that potential to be. Now, I ain't saying I'm going to breathe this person into my life, but I can breathe healing into myself. I totally believe that whatever you practice often enough becomes a truth, and it becomes a realness. It becomes alive. I know in this process that there are some things that I need to say, and then there are going to be some things I don't need to say. I'm going back to a shorter show beginning after this show. I'm not broadcasting it as the end of the show, but I just know there are some spaces in myself that I'm not going to be able to continue to share with everybody. It's just not, it's just too much. So I'm gonna heal, and then I'm going to be better, and then I'm going to be able to share even more healing for others and myself. What do you do when you realize you are still broken? You just heal, okay? And everything after that, it'll be all right. It will be all right.
I've been cutting myself open, trying to figure out if it's me who needs to change everything about us. I can't keep going through the same thing. Every time I turn around, I'm the one that ends up hurting us. Trying to love men who won't love me. I can't keep going through the same things. Never been healed from the first man who said he loved me. My daddy issues took over. I can't keep going through the same things. And the one man I wanted to love me, he said I would.